Let's pray. Jesus, as always, we ask that you would open your word to us and open our hearts to you. In your name, amen. We are in Galatians 5, 16 through 26, if you'd like to turn there. When I was in college, a friend of mine asked me if he could run with me. And of course, I said, sure. But interestingly enough, I very quickly noticed something odd about him. No matter what strides I took, he matched my strides. So step by step by step, our feet hit the ground at the same time. And once I noticed it, of course, you know me, once I noticed it, I had to mess with him. So as I'm running, I'm purposely changing my pace, my stride. And to his credit, or I don't know if you call it credit, but anyway, to his credit, every time I changed, and I changed it often, within two, three, four steps, he was matching me stride for stride for stride again, our feet hitting the ground at the same time. It was uncanny. And I asked him why he did that, and I don't think he even did it consciously at first. Of course, then once he knew I was messing with him, then it was, you know, he was bound and determined to match me stride for stride. But I mention it because I think this is a good picture of what Paul told the Galatians in our text, that they should walk with the Spirit and match him stride by stride. Or as Paul said it in verse 25, keep in step with the Spirit. So let's look at our scripture today. I'm going to read through the whole thing and then come back to it, because we're going to kind of go in order, but kind of not. So let's read it, the whole passage together, then we'll make some comments about it. So this is what Paul wrote, Galatians 5, 16 through 26. But I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Now remember the context of this passage as a whole. The Galatians thought they had to become a good Jew to become a good Christian. They thought they had to, in essence, live by a checklist, and if they checked certain things off, then they would be saved and sanctified. Or said still another way, they thought they had to try, and try again to be good enough for God to accept them. But Paul said to them, as we have already noted, that no checklist can save or sanctify anyone. They can be helpful, but they cannot save or sanctify anyone. And what a person really needs is new birth. It's not so much that he needs to try hard to be good, it's that he needs to be made good on the inside. That's the context. So then the question for today is this: how do we live out this new birth? How do we as Christians live out this new birth that we have been given? And I think before we can answer that, we have to remind ourselves of the three of the truths that are in our text for today. So let's look at them first. And here's the first truth. Before a Christian can live out the new birth that he has been given, he has to recognize that he is at war with himself, with his old self, or with his flesh, as Paul called the former self. Look at what he said in verse 17. The desires of the flesh are against the spirit. Literally, he said, the flesh desires against the spirit. And the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. Or again, literally, the spirit desires against the flesh. These two are opposed to each other. They're at war with each other. And that keeps you from doing the things that you want to do. The flesh, your old self, desires and yearns and aches and craves for what is not of the spirit. And your new nature, the Holy Spirit within you, desires and yearns and aches and craves for what is not of the flesh. There's a part of you, the born-again part of you, the spirit-filled part of you that wants to be what God created you to be, wants to be good, kind, loving, and so on. And then there is the flesh, the old part of you, that just wants what it wants, like everyone else on this earth. In other words, you as a Christian, to use the phrase that's popular today, you are conflicted. You are conflicted. So what does the flesh look like? Verses 19 through 21. Looks pretty awful. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. All these awful things lurk in every fallen person's heart. Now, that doesn't mean every one of us commits every one of these awful things, but it does mean each one of us has the capacity to commit each one of those. And that we often do. And if we were honest, when we walk in the flesh, we commit those much more than we care to admit. That's what the flesh looks like. What does the spirit look like? Verse 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All those wonderful things are present in every born-again heart. And since we are born again, that means they're present in our hearts. Now, that doesn't mean we always manifest each one of those fruits, but it does mean we have the capacity to do so. And if we saw ourselves through God's eyes, I think we would be surprised to find out that we manifest those more than we sometimes think. But the point is this, with two parts of us so at odds with each other, it's no wonder we are conflicted. Amen? And perhaps you can relate to Paul. Now remember, Paul, we're talking about the Apostle Paul, who, when you want to talk about someone who followed hard after God, we're talking about Apostle Paul. Even he said, Romans 7:15, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. We've all been there, haven't we? We wanted to do good, but didn't. Why? Because we're conflicted. We've all had times when we did something and then afterwards wondered, why in the world did we do that? Why did we do it? Because we're conflicted. And we listen to our flesh rather than the spirit. Now, precisely because we are so conflicted, it sometimes seems as if the battle's up for grabs. But it's not. That's the second truth. It doesn't have to be up for grabs. Christ, through his death and resurrection, has defeated our flesh. The old man, our former self. Paul said it this way in our text, verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have been crucified, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. When we turn to Christ in faith, he crucified our old self. Our old self is dead in one sense. If you will, there's been a stake driven in our vampire's heart. The scriptures describe what Jesus did in many ways. And one of the ways it talks about is in him. We are in him. The whole idea of baptism. In Romans 6:3, we were baptized into Christ Jesus and his death. The word baptism was a secular term, as you probably know. A person would take a cloth, put it in the dye, he baptized it or immersed it in the dye. And when he put that cloth in the dye was in the cloth was in the dye. And the two were inseparable. They were so identified with one another that you couldn't really tell them apart anymore, so to speak. So when we were baptized into Christ, when we turned to him in faith, in one sense, when he died on the cross, we died with him, our old self. And then when he was in the grave, we were in the grave. When he rose, we rose with him to newness of life. Now there's a difference in time, of course, but what's time to God? We were in him, he died, we died, he rose, we rose. Do you see what I mean? Our old self has been crucified, it died. And then we rose in new birth, new life. So the point is this, our old self is dead, and dead people cannot or don't need to influence us anymore. And dead people certainly can't force us to do anything. Our old self can tempt us, and it does. It can con us. Our old self can whisper in our ear and try to cause us to doubt or fear. He can shout at us and try to intimidate us or whisper sweetly to us and try to get us to sign on to whatever he wants us to do. But that's it. That's it. He's all talk. He cannot force us to do anything because of Jesus Christ. Said another way, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be good, do good, anytime, every time we want to. We can say to ourselves as a Christian, in Christ, I can. When a Christian says, I know I did wrong, but I couldn't help myself, that is a lie. That's a lie. I think it sometimes. For myself, but it's a lie. It's a lie. The question isn't whether we can do what we've been called to do, be good and so on. The question is sometimes do we believe it? And do we want to? That's the real question. So while our old self cannot force us to do his bidding, he sure can tempt us. And that brings us to our third truth. If we want to do what God wants us to do, if we want to be good, we must listen to the Holy Spirit and not our old self. Paul said in Galatians 5:16, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. We have a choice. Do you see the choice? Paul urged the Galatians to walk by the Spirit, meaning they had a choice. You don't urge someone to do something if they don't have a choice about it. He urged them to walk by the Spirit, so that means we have a choice. And the point is, if we choose to walk by the Spirit, then we do not do the second part. We do not gratify the desires of the flesh. So I'll say it again. Our old self, the flesh, has no power over us. He cannot force us to do anything. We can do good anytime, every time we want to, no matter the circumstances. We can do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. But our old self sure messes with our mind, doesn't he? And you know how it goes. You are at work. You have a jerk on your team who constantly takes advantage of you, and he's done it once again. Instantly, you're furious. You're sick and tired of this. And the Spirit says, breathe. You don't have to react in anger. But your old self says, how dare that jerk do what he did again? And your old self says to you, you need to put him in his place. And what our old self says often sounds so incredibly right and reasonable. But whether we believe it or not, we do have a choice. We do. We can choose who we are going to listen to. Now, don't get me wrong. How we feel about being mistreated, that I'm not sure we have a lot of control over. We get treated unfairly. It's natural for us to be angry. I don't think we have a lot of control over that, at least not initially. But what we are going to do when we are mistreated, that we do have a lot of control over in Jesus Christ. And a good place to start in this situation is to see the jerk as a person and not as a jerk. And pray God's blessings over that person. And remember, the same Christ who prayed for those who nailed him to the cross, even as they were nailing him to the cross, is the same Christ who lives in you and me and empowers us to do his will. Maybe you can't forgive the jerk, but Christ in you can. You do have a choice. Those are the truths we see in our text. We are at war with the flesh. Our flesh has been defeated. And we do have a choice. We can choose whom we're going to listen to. The living Spirit of God or our old dead flesh. So in the time we have, let's go back to our original question. How then do we listen to the Spirit and follow him? How do we live out the new birth that we have been given? And the short answer is found in verse 25. Paul said to the Galatians, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, if we've been born again, then we should also keep in step with him day by day. That is, we should, if you will, like my friend, match his stride, just like my friend matched mine. We should walk where he walks, run where he runs, and match him stride for stride, so to speak. The Greek word, which is translated as keep in step, can also be translated as to proceed by a row or in an orderly manner, or to walk by a rule. In Romans 4:12, it was used to describe a person who walked in faith in the footsteps of Abraham. In Galatians 6:16, it's used to describe a person who walked by the rule of peace and love. Philippians 3:16, it was used to describe a person who walked according to the truths that he had already received. Do you see a pattern? A person who walks in this way is a person who walks intentionally according to rules and standards and morals, so on and so forth, that are greater than himself. His life is ordered by something that is greater than himself. And so in Galatians 5:25, the word is used to describe a person who looks to the Spirit for guidance and power and follows hard after him, step by step by step every day. It refers to a person who orders his life by God. And like all Christians, like all of our Christian life, this is a one-time deal and a day-by-day thing. This washes out as an overarching commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord, and then a situation-by-situation commitment to trust and obey him every day. So when my friend and I ran together, I picked the route. I like running up hills, so we ran up the hill two or three times. It's a big hill in Eau Claire. He was running with me. This is where I was going to run. If he wouldn't run with me, he had to go where I was going. He had to defer to me. In the same way, if we want to walk with the Holy Spirit, we have to come to a place in our life where we say once and for all, Jesus, you are the boss. I defer to you. And if you haven't come to that point in your life and made such a commitment where you've said, Lord, you are the Lord, today's a good day to do so. That's the overarching commitment to Jesus Christ. Now, my friend didn't need to match me stride for stride. Like I said, I never quite understood why he did that. I don't think he knew. But you and I, in every situation, we should step when the Spirit steps and halt when he halts. We should follow him to the left when he goes to the left and to the right when he goes to the right and so on and so forth. We should follow hard after him no matter where he goes. That is the situation by situation commitment to trust and obey him. So, the jerk at work mistreats you again. The flesh says, I hate that jerk, and then encourages you to dump on him as he has dumped on you. And the flesh says to you, you have a right to be angry. But do you? When we surrender to Christ, we surrender everything to him, even our so-called rights. Again, I don't think we have a lot of control over how we feel in that situation, especially initially, but we do have a choice in regard to how we will react. And the Spirit always calls us to trust and obey him. So the Spirit says to us, trust me. I've got this. And then he says, obey me. Don't repay evil with evil. Repay evil with love. Now, nowhere in the scripture does it tell us that we are supposed to like everybody. We're not. But we are called to love everybody, to treat them with respect. Still, in the situation I described, we are often so miffed, we feel as if it's impossible to treat that jerk with respect. That's a lie. And the Spirit then comes to us and says, you can't do it on your own, but the two of us can do it together. And then he, so to speak, sticks out his hand and says, walk with me. We'll walk through this together. I'm not a particularly strong Christian, and it's amazing still the things that I can do through Christ who strengthens me. After all, he does all the heavy lifting. So let's do some math. If you help me do something, you double my efforts, right? If another person helps us, then my initial efforts are tripled. Simple math. If God helps me, are my efforts doubled or tripled or what? The answer is the or what. God is infinite. He is infinitely powerful, infinitely good and loving, infinitely wise and so on. So if God helps me, my efforts are multiplied by infinity. By infinity. No wonder Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if you're hearing this message with me and you think I'm saying, shape up, you're hearing it wrong. This isn't get your act together. This is cool. Look at what we can do. We can do these things because of Christ who's within me. We can do all things that we're supposed to do, walking with Christ. In any given situation, in every given situation, we can be good. We can be loving if we choose to walk with the Spirit. You can forgive the jerk and love on him. You can be good. You can be patient. Isn't that freeing? You can control your tongue. Indeed, you can make it through whatever trial you're facing right now. Not on your own, but walking step by step with the Spirit. You fill in the blank. In Christ, you can. Forget what you might feel. That's the flesh. Ignore what your flesh might tell you, because it messes with your mind. You just take the Spirit's hand and walk with Him. You can do the things He calls you to do. It was fun running with my friend. Usually I ran alone, and that was fine, but it was fun running with someone else for a change. And we pushed each other, encouraged each other, and gabbed off and on. I was never very good at gabbing when I was running. I didn't have the wind for it. It always amazed me, the people that could run together and have this ongoing conversation for miles. But it was fun. Too often, this is how we view the Christian life. We are running the race and Christ is ahead of us or in the stands watching us, applauding us on, and so on and so forth. And maybe every once in a while going, come on, come on, come on, come on. That's not really a good picture of what our reality is. The reality is we are running our race and the Holy Spirit is right there with us. Running with us. Stride for stride, step for step. In the person of the Holy Spirit, you can. You can do whatever God's called you to do. You really, really can. So, as Paul said, let's keep in step with Him. Let's pray. Jesus, we bow before You. You are the Lord. Command us and we will follow You. We trust You. Where You run, we will run with You. Only we pray, please be our strength. We know we cannot run the race on our own, Lord, but we also know that we can indeed do all things with You. Step by step, Lord, we will walk with You in Your name.